You spy, you're going to die. Or at least that's the way it should be. Good morning and welcome. 9:07 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. American journalist who lived in China for some time got busted spying for China. Shocker, right? Look, this guy is Thomas Paukin. American citizen, worked in China for about 7 years, all right? He exploited his U.S. citizenship. He also was supporting Chinese Ministry of State security operations, recruiting, gathering sensitive information from potential assets and stuff like that. And apparently some of the stuff had to do with Wuhan.
Wow.
And so, I mean, busted, right?
Well, wouldn't that be, is that not treason of some sort?
Well, you're an American citizen, I mean, and you turn spy for a for another country, for an adversary.
That seems like it should be pretty serious.
It would, but instead it's 2 years. 2 years in prison the guy got.
That's nothing. That's nothing.
It's certainly not a deterrent. How much money was he getting from the Chinese?
And is it still sitting in a bank someplace waiting for him to get out?
Hmm.
Just saying.
He did. He did say, pay me in crypto. No, I don't know if he did or not. But anyway, yeah, 2 years.
That seems pretty weak.
I mean, either you have a case or you don't. And if you have a case and this guy did do that, all that stuff that they said, and he only gets 2 years, that's bizarre. He's 50 now. He's going to be 52.
He's looking at a long life to do
whatever. And like you said, if he... Well, certainly, I'm sure there's a place for him if he wants to move back to China.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they got a job.
He'll
for
be
him.
He'd be somewhat of a maybe a quasi-celebrity even there. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, let's deal in some good news. U.S. Energy Secretary Chris Wright traveled to Caracas Tuesday, finalized a historic oil deal between the U.S. and Venezuela, announced this weekend. This is a big deal, and I'm sick and tired of the left diminishing the accomplishments of President Donald J. Trump. Yeah. Enough already. But I spend, really, a lot of the time on this show telling people information that they otherwise would absolutely not know if they're just dealing with the mainstream media, especially if it's just like the headlines and the highlights. Mm-hmm. Because they are so trying to downplay this whole thing, they even make up lies. Oh, Venezuela, that's that real heavy, nasty crude. We don't have the capacity to refine that, which is a lie. We have a greater capacity to refine that than we do the light, sweet crude. Hence the reason why when everybody said, why don't we do more domestically, don't export our light, sweet crude to protect us against a Strait of Hormuz situation. And you know what the answer was? We don't have enough of the refinery for sweet light crude. Mm-hmm. We've got plenty for the heavy stuff.
Right.
Well, which is it?
And then they totally turn it around.
Yeah. I'm telling you, we do have the facilities for that. Now, is there a bottleneck? Do we need to build more facilities? Absolutely. But that's been the case for 50 or 60 years now. Maybe, finally, energy companies will feel like they're in a place of safe haven when it comes to the Trump administration. But under Democrats, they are not going to extend and expand any kind of capital. When you've got Democrats taking over and saying, yeah, by 2030, you're pretty much going to have to battery-powered car or nothing at all.
Yeah.
You know? So you're in that industry, and you got to look at that seriously. So this is a big deal. Are we going to see it tomorrow, all of a sudden gas be $1.99? No. But it's coming. And it's going to be good. And you know what? It's another Trump win-win. It's a win for the Venezuelan people.
Yes.
It is a win for the oil industries. Mm-hmm. It's a win for the American people. And remember, there's geopolitical forces. The less we have to deal with Middle Eastern issues, that's a win, right? Yep. Isn't that a better thing? And this way, we're energy independent within our own hemisphere.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you got that going on. Yeah, we were talking about the Chinese spy was an American citizen, but he lived in China, and he only gets 2 years for spying, and there were several charges. Let's go to the Davis-Gainesville Chevrolet GMC Skylines and talk to Joe. You're on the air.
2 years is plenty of time for the prison system to take care of this problem.
And how's that?
You you find the right cellmate, and
I see. Yeah.
Okay.
It could happen. I mean, you got a real patriotic cellmate. Just saying. I don't know. A lot of things happen, but I doubt that's going to be his biggest fear there.
Yeah, and it's a federal facility.
It's probably pretty safe. Yeah.
Yeah, the good news is he'll do the vast majority of his time.
Yeah,
because it's fed. But mm-hmm. yeah,
I don't know.
If you want to play spy versus spy, you should have saved taxpayers money and just offed him. I don't.
Well,
if you want to play spy versus spy,
that's true.
Game,
you know how many people in Russia die from a cold? Yeah, from.
Well, it's cold there.
Well, I know.
But I know what you're saying.
Political figures, that sort of thing, treasonists.
Oh, my gosh. Can you handle more good news?
You've got some.
Liberal heads are popping off.
Okay, that's what that is. What's causing it now?
The Trump manufacturing boom gets even stronger.
They won't believe it.
America's manufacturing sector is booming. Orders are rising. Factories are turning out more capital equipment. Job openings soaring. Purchasing managers say the expansion continued in August. Four reports released over the past few weeks approach the factory sector from different directions. This is a Census Bureau report. They're saying that new factory orders rose nearly 1% in July, and it was only supposed to go up 0.5%. So they really doubled what the expectations were. That's just one example. But the factory production surge is real, and it's just the tip of the iceberg. There's still a lot of facilities that are barely breaking ground now. So they've got to build the facilities, sure. Then they're going to produce, they're going to hire people. I mean, this is going to continue to snowball in a positive way.
Well, people forget, Trump has been doing this for a while in the sense that he's been bringing these companies back who've promised to invest here. It does take a while to build those plants, hire those people, but he's been at this for a while. It just doesn't get recognized.
Hey, and everybody needs to bust their butt over the next 10 years because that's when the humanoid robots will be taking over, according to Elon Musk.
What happened to the good news,
he's a
Bob?
Pretty smart guy. In fact, what?
What happened to the good news you were giving us? We're all going to be out of jobs?
No, this says we'll be able to kick back.
Oh, I like this.
Yeah, this is one of the, you know, technology is going to make your life easier and better.
Like computers did?
Yeah, and smartphones.
No paper?
Yeah, you won't be tortured by.
Huh.
Yeah. No, he said that. He was addressing the G20, and he got specific on some of this stuff, and he says, look, three factors here, AI software, onboard AI chip, and electromechanical dexterity, particularly in the hands, and all the three of these are improving exponentially, and what you're going to end up with is robots building robots. Robots building robots, mass producing them exponentially. So this he's saying, hey, in 10 years, a billion robots will outproduce all of humanity. All of humanity.
I'm thinking bad Will Smith movie from a couple decades ago. Going bad here.
Or you could go back to, you know, an Arnold movie, too.
Oh,
when you talk
yeah.
about when the machines take
CBS.
Over.
There's that.
But, yeah, it is interesting. So you've got 10 years, folks.
Okay.
Live it up.
Yeah.
Because the robots are going to be hunting you down.
Think
about technology and where we're going to be.
It is crazy.
Will they do away with the cash? Will it be a cashless society? I mean, we're so unfortunately close to that happening now. How long before humans are implanted with a chip? And of course, it won't come like, I'm Beelzebub and I'm giving everybody a chip named 666. It's not going to happen like that.
Not at all.
It's going to go, well, we socialized medicine and we made it easy.
Uh-huh.
And so all you have to do is show up, we read your trip. Your chip,
yep.
And we have your medical records right there.
Uh-huh.
What could be easier? We have your health history. It's all on the chip.
It pays your deductible immediately if you have one.
It does all your banking for you immediately.
Uh-huh.
It immediately talks to the IRS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sends them your money, your digital money.
In fact, we don't even send, you know, paychecks to people anymore. We found it was easier to send all the money to Mother Government, and Mother Government will then, as she sees fit, then she will send virtual checks to all of us.
Uh-huh.
You know, according to what she perceives we deserve, not by innovation hard work, sweat equity, things like that.
We make fun of it, but this is what they want. Everything we just did is what they want. It's true. Believe it or not,
folks,
it's true.
If you're above 55, spend that 401k today. Buy that boat. Live it up. Elon Musk said the end is near, you mere mortals. You're going to be replaced with humanoids.
Great.
All right. That's my upbeat approach today. My optimistic approach.
I'm glad this wasn't things that make you smile yet.
No, we're getting ready for that, though, even though it's 30 minutes away. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Happy Thursday. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky. It's going to be another awesome day. That's the attitude we're looking for. Good morning and welcome 920 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Gloria Steinem passed away. Remember her? She was at the forefront of the women's liberation movement. She has passed away at the age of 92. She was the co-founder of Ms. Magazine, a trailblazing figure of the women's liberation movement in the later half of the 20th century. She's passed away. 92. Gloria Steinem Foundation put this out on social media. She passed away peacefully at her home in New York City, surrounded by some of the many who loved her, the cause of death not given, and they consider her one of the architects of the entire structure of women's equality. Here's the deal, okay? I'm not against some parts of the feminist movement or whatever.
Right.
Look, this was always, let's call it an option. So you're a young lady, okay, and you have some decisions to make. Do I go into the workforce immediately? Do I go to college or gain another type of skill set and then enter the workplace?
Right.
Do I go to college and hopefully I'll meet a husband? Which, when she was pushing her stuff, that was a reasonable option, if you will. Mm-hmm. One that, you know, people took. Here's my takeaway from all that. Should women be treated as equals? Absolutely. Absolutely. They should get the same pay as men if they're doing the same job, the same title, whatever.
Sure.
They're getting that done. That, to me, that's easy.
Yep.
That's a no-brainer. And here's the takeaway. Acquiring a skill set, something that you can use if your initial plan doesn't work out. What I mean by that is if you go old school, we'll call it that, traditional.
Right.
Meet a man, fall in love, you get married, you have children. Turns out he's an abusive alcoholic, really bad.
Mm-hmm.
In the old days, you would be stuck in that relationship unless you really had helpful friends and relatives.
Right.
You were stuck. You had kids to feed and all that.
Sure.
If you had a skill set, it made it much easier to get out of that terrible situation. You know, domestic violence, in many cases, if it goes on long enough, it ends up being a homicide case.
Mm-hmm.
You end up getting killed by the abuser. So it's a lifesaver, let's say, to be able to earn enough money to get by without the aid of a spouse. So from that standpoint, that's the part I believe. Women should be valued. Women are of equal value. Women should try to get some sort of skill set to where they could earn a living. And that should be then a choice, whether they want to earn a living or have to earn a living. So it gives them just more options. But Steinem and others, you know, on the left, the liberals, they push so hard on this that they began to fight against traditionalism. There was no need to do that. You simply present this as an option.
Mm-hmm.
And people could take it like a smorgasbord or whatever. They could pick and choose the things from your quote-unquote feminist movement that they want to apply in their lives. But instead, they took almost angered stand It's kind of like what you see today, LGBTQ folks. Not all of them, of course, but a lot of them, if you don't embrace wholeheartedly what they're all about, tolerant isn't enough anymore.
And we don't even want to be equal now. We want special privilege.
And if you don't buy into it, you don't go along with all of what they're about, then you're a hater, you're a bigot, you're this, you're that.
Yep.
So then it's the opposite of being inclusive. Mm-hmm. They fought to be included, and then as soon as they got to that point where they had some power, then they said, we don't want to be inclusive, but we don't want to be inclusive anymore. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I Gloria Steinem, obviously, you know, an intelligent woman. I don't agree with a lot of the stuff, but to have options,
yes,
is the, to me, that's the way that it should be utilized. Don't poo-poo traditional women if they do choose to raise a family, whether they want to work outside the home or just inside the home. Give people a break. Support people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But there's a difference between being equal, getting the same job, and trying to turn them into men, which is kind of what a lot of them did. And I never got that. No, be a strong woman. Get paid the same. Whatever. You're not becoming a man. You're doing the job as a woman. And there's differences.
Yeah. And, well, like the sexual revolution.
Yes.
Hey, men have always been dogs. We'll behave like dogs, too.
Right.
That makes life better. How? What?
Well, and I've asked this over and over. Where were all the women who were, you know, fans of Gloria and that whole movement? And again, they did so much for women. Why did they all just roll over when this whole men and women sports and trans and all that? Where did they all go? They fought for decades to get their own leagues and teams and equality, and they let men with a mental issue wipe it all out overnight, and they didn't say a word.
Yeah, but they have a history. Think about it. When you become aware of all the Muslim or many of the Muslim countries and how they treat women as second-class citizens, I don't recall a lot of women utilizing their power or push or the media or anything else to promote, you know, freedom for these women.
Oh, you're right.
And so, it kind of started with that. And then it became clearly obvious when the whole trans thing came up. Mm-hmm. It's like, you work so hard for Title IX. You work so hard to protect women.
Yes.
And women needed protection. And you did the right things in as far as that goes. But then, all of a sudden, the political winds in your mind, because the lefties that you've saddled up with, all of a sudden, the wind in the directions changed a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And you just give it all up?
I don't. It's just sad.
Putting women in danger all over again.
Yeah.
Under the guise of...
Well, and worse,
really. Well, he's not really a man. Well, the heck, he's not.
Yeah, he's 6'2 and weighs 250. Talk to me about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I still say rest in peace.
Oh, yeah. It's not her fault that they all wimped out.
Build that foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Lead by example. And if you don't have good role models, look for them. But for my crowd, folks that are listening, be a good role model. 9:28 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, about 15 minutes away from things that make you smile. We'll sneak in a few more headlines. Top stories coming up. News Talk 97.3 The Sky. On the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Good morning. Welcome and happy Thursday, my friends. Yeah. We've made it this far. We can just keep on going. All right. Got a lot of top stories we're dealing with. Iran. They're still battling it out. They're still firing missiles. They're firing, at their own neighbors.
Yeah. Nice.
They're being crushed militarily and being crushed and choked economically. But man, apparently they can hang on, and they're not ready to tap out just yet. Hopefully that's going to happen soon. I think as some of the top wealthiest people see the writing on the wall, eventually maybe they will be part of the change. Because we're looking for the change.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that awful shooting in Minneapolis. Suspected gunman accused of shooting dead two people in his Minneapolis apartment complex allegedly told residents he would kill someone and previously threatened to gun down his ex-girlfriend.
Wow.
Carlton Johnson II, 35 years old, clashed with residents at Shoreline Plaza, where he allegedly assaulted one person and showed off his gun in several incidences this year over a six-month time frame. He was slapped with an eviction notice, and that apparently was his snapping point.
Mm.
He allegedly killed two people, injured six, including three cops, who I believe the last I heard were going to be okay,
yeah.
Right? And what it doesn't say in this story, but I picked it up on another one, which is the heroics involved. Remember, Minneapolis, defund the police, all that movement.
Yep.
It started there. They did cut back on police. They're still 130 to 170 officers short of having, you know, a full staff. They actually have been court ordered that they need to fill those positions. And they responded to this shooting, police officers did in Minneapolis, in like a minute and 42 seconds.
So understaffed, underappreciated, but they're still doing their job.
Oh, now, is the crime rate a little higher in maybe that particular area and there's a little bit more patrolling going on? Probably.
Could be, yeah.
But less than 2 minutes?
That's pretty good.
To an active and live shooting scenario and where they actually immediately like stepped in and, you know, helped to make the difference.
That's good work.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I hope the people in Minneapolis start to like understand. Yeah, you can always have a bad apple here and there, but it's not everybody, all your law enforcement agents, like they initially tried to tell us, all systemic this and systemic that.
And they're all racist, and they're all killing black men, and
Joe Pa being honored. Yep, the Penn State legend, Joe Paterno. You know, we had a statue removed. It was 14 years ago. They removed it from Beaver Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because of the whole controversy that went down, what exactly his role was in this guy Sandusky and the child molestation stuff. Did he just turn a blind eye to it? Did he really know what was going on? I think there was enough people who made a strong enough case to say, no, he had to know.
Yeah.
He had to know, and it doesn't appear that he did much of anything about it. So that was really a black mark on him, and they terminated him. He had been the head coach for 45 years.
Is that crazy or what, when you really think about it nowadays?
Yeah, he took over the football program in 1966, I think just a year before they got rid of the leather helmets.
That was a whole different era of time. Amazing.
It's just sad that, you know, that whole program and his legacy was blemished in that way. It's just it's just sad. No matter what's at stake, there are just some things you have to rise above and do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it appears as though he had some options and maybe he chose not to do the right thing, or the right thing in his mind was maybe a little bit different than what most of us have in mind.
Yeah.
I always have to protect the children. That's just rule number one. So anyway, they're gonna honor him. They're going to memorialize him, and New York Post reports, now this was more about the story, but they are going to, later on today, they're going to unveil the Paterno Family Football Experience Room at Beaver Stadium.
It's kind of ironic, isn't it, how
at the same time, apparently, they're going to name the showers after Jerry Sandusky. Too soon?
Nah, not really.
Now the kids involved are adults by now,
yeah, exactly.
Long since.
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's not too soon?
Yeah. You're all right.
Maybe not in very good taste.
Well, that was.
I could be guilty of that every day, all day.
That's not the question.
Exactly. There's about 13% of Democrats that they polled, 13%, say that Americans spend too much time focusing on the 9/11 terrorist attacks.
Who said this?
13% of Democrats.
Oh, then I'm not surprised. Okay. Because they're kissing up to the Mom Donnies and the Pikers and all these people.
If anything, there's been not enough time focused on it. What have we learned? Yeah, you brought up Mom Donnie.
Yeah.
Here we are in the backyard of 9/11
yeah.
in the city.
Uh-huh.
And 25 years, I got to tell you, 25 years.
Not a long time.
It's not a long time when you're talking about the kind of loss of life. And people who've felt it directly.
Right.
Children who didn't have a mom or a dad after that day.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they were a high-powered executive way up in the office suites or whether they were firefighters or law enforcement on the ground.
Right.
There was a huge loss of life. That should never be forgotten. Why would some Democrats say that? I mean, this took time and planning, and it was a seriously hateful terrorist act. What was the other thing we had the other day? Some don't want to classify it as a terror attack?
Yeah, the Canadians were telling their media, don't call it a terrorist attack.
That's just bizarre.
That is bizarre.
All right. Yep. So, again, yes, we are divided, and there is even quite a bit of divide in the Democrat Party itself.
Yeah.
The headline catches you by surprise because it's Nick Saban.
Mm-hmm.
And big time coach, of course. And he warned about Lane Kiffin hooking up with college girls at Alabama. That's the headline. Well, come to find out that, that's according to a book written by CBS sports reporter John Talty. He revealed that in his new book and said Saban wasn't a fan of Kiffin's behavior and goes into some extent there that Kiffin never moved to Alabama with his family. The wife and kids stayed behind in California. Then they eventually divorced during his last year at Tuscaloosa. But while he was at Alabama, he quickly developed a reputation as a would-be ladies' man who was constantly seen in local bars trying to pick up the college girls. And apparently Nick Saban was not at all amused by that.
Oh, I'll bet.
I don't know how tawdry any details get in the book, but you can find that out for yourself. And speaking of football, since we've been talking about it, man, we are gearing up. It's another college football season. I love all of it.
Oh, yeah.
But my heart bleeds orange and blue. Go Gators. Mm-hmm. Playing Saturday night, FAU, 7:45 in the Swamp. It's the season opener with a new coach, John Sumrall. How are we going to do? How's he going to perform? You've got the portals and players coming and going and all the aggravation and stuff that comes with all of that. And it's a tall order. And Gator fans have been tough, and we demand certain things.
Sure. Expectations.
Yeah. We're going to have former player Bill Allen. He's going to be in the studio tomorrow.
Yep.
You know, as part of this whole kind of kick off the football season.
Mm-hmm.
Doug Johnson. You got to remember that name.
Oh, yeah.
One of the best. QB position. Also played Buell's High School. So, love to get that local stuff in there.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk to them on Friday, tomorrow.
Man.
It's so hard to believe.
This
tomorrow's
week flown,
Friday.
It's just flown by. Yep.
Yeah.
Labor Day weekend.
Yep. Yeah. Lots of things going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, really. No reason to be sitting at home this weekend. Unless, you watch the game. Not everybody gets to go.
If you're not going, there are certain parts of town you avoid because it's going to be a madhouse. Kind of keep that in mind, too. Even tomorrow night. And like planning your out-to-eat kind of things, if you were in Gainesville, everything will be full, just so you know.
That's a good idea to let people know that, if you're not a fan, you need to have certain expectations of how busy the town does get. Maybe you're new to the area. It's a big deal, to say the least.
Make reservations or just order pizza.
The good news is you're not going to hear me whine or cry like a little baby that I want to get tickets to the game.
Oh, yeah?
Well, because I'll be out of town.
Oh,
other than that, of course I would be.
That explains it. I knew there had to be a good reason. Like, what?
Yeah.
What do you mean you're not whining and crying about getting good seats? Come on.
And the fact that it's a night game. Well, see, we can't win, Greg.
Yeah.
Because we get up so early that, game starts at 7:45. All of a sudden, it's 9:45, almost 2 hours past my normal bedtime.
Uh-huh.
Even though it's a Saturday night, my body hasn't regulated in that way.
Yep.
So that would be hard. But if it was a noon game, I'd be like, do I want to die in that blistering heat?
Oh,
not so much.
Uh-huh.
So
And you love yourself a good sweaty crowd.
I think it was a good move.
It was.
To have it on at night.
Yep.
And then I'll be able to watch it from the confines of my little cabin in the woods.
Look at you.
If everything turns out okay.
Yeah.
What is it? The good Lord says it and the creeks don't rise?
The creek don't rise.
The cricks?
The crick. Yep, the crick.
I don't know whether there are creeks or cricks up there.
I'm afraid
to ask.
Yep.
Some of the people aren't all that friendly.
I hear banjos.
Nobody's asked me to squeal, though, so so far, so good.
Paddle faster.
Coming up next, if you're not already, things that make you smile, upbeat, positive thoughts that you share with us and we share with you. Come on, call in. You've got plenty of blessings to be thankful for. 877-975-9825. Things that make you smile, brought to you by my dentist, Transformation Dentistry, and Dr. Samantha Annis. It's not really a suggestion. I'm telling you to make me smile, funny boy.
Wow.
Dance like a monkey, people.
Wow.
Call in now, 877-975-9825. They won't call now for sure.
But yeah, really.
Anyway, don't you have something positive in your life? Count your blessings kind of a thing. Birthday, anniversary, something good, you know?
Wife's out of town for the weekend or something,
you know? Something that makes you smile. Yeah. Kidding. Brought to you by my dentist, Transformation Dentistry, and Dr. Samantha Annis. So, yeah, call in now with your upbeat, positive thoughts. That's how we like to keep it on, things that make you smile. Let's go to Pam. Good morning. What's making you smile?
Well, I guess I've got a couple because I'm going to see my sister in Boise tomorrow for the weekend. She's going to turn 60 on Sunday, so I'll celebrate her birthday. It's kind of a surprise, but what makes me smile this morning is you guys were talking about a story about, and you kept saying spy versus spy. So I'm going to date myself. The only thing that was popping into my head was the Mad Magazine Spy versus Spy.
And how they drew the spies like crows, remember, with the long pointed nose?
They did.
Yeah.
They did.
Oh, that's funny. That is funny.
Well, that worked because that's exactly what I was thinking of when I said it.
Because it was in the back of your mind. It was there.
Now, I mean, when that magazine was popular, you know, I was probably just out of diapers, but, you know, I was a little advanced in terms of of reading and stuff. Wow. Alfred E. Newman. Of course I remember all that stuff.
What a caricature and character it was. He was.
Did he make you smile?
This will be no shock to you whatsoever. It really wasn't my thing. Mad Mag, it just really wasn't.
Yeah, you didn't have a snarky bone in your body.
No, I was just
a good Christian boy.
Good pastor's kid, you know, that you know.
You can't say that too often, can you?
Well, see, that's a misunderstanding.
Oh, really?
Yes, it is.
Do tell.
Well, see, really, you are being watched by everyone, obviously. But it's the deacon's kids that come up with the ideas, and it's the pastor's kid that probably gets busted. I'm blaming it on the deacon's
because
kids.
Because the pastor's kid...
Yeah.
Is just going after the one sheep that's going off the trail.
See?
And rescuing them.
I'm glad you caught
on.
And
bring them back into the herd.
But you get busted with the deacon's kids, and then you look like the bad guy, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because...
That's my story, and I was... No.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. Keep on going with that. All right, call in now, 877-975-9825 for things that make you smile. Let's check in with, hey, Mike, what's making you smile?
Hey, good morning, guys. Excellent show again. Great guests. This might not be super smiley for everybody, but I just found out we're going to get to schedule my upcoming 8 to 9 weeks of radiation. And I've been a month and a half waiting on this news, so that makes me smile. It's starting about a week and a half. Have a great day.
Bye. Hey, you too, and prayers for you and your family. You know, that shows an optimistic person when you're smiling because you're going to get, you know, further treatment, which is going to save your life. But nobody looks forward to the treatment itself, I think. So you got the right attitude.
Yes.
Keep it up, Mike. Tug, good morning. What's making you smile?
Hey, what's making me smile is they finally patched this crater in front of the Farm Bureau building on Rocky Point Road.
Is that the one that got kind of went around social media a little bit with a picture of it? It's pretty big.
A lot did. It was about 12 inches deep and about 4 foot across.
Ooh.
So potholes getting patched makes me smile.
Wow.
Yeah, there was the one that had, like, their daughter was laying next to it like it was a, on one of these, like it was a
yeah.
pool.
Yeah, how big, to show how yeah. big it was.
It was huge. I mean, huge.
I came here 25 years ago, and I can tell you then I noticed that the roads were in disrepair, and that was 25 years ago. Can you imagine the amount of tax dollars that they have collected during that time period and how little of these road projects they've done? And some of them now, they've allowed the roadbed itself to be destroyed, which cost exponentially more than just repaving a road. They knew all this. These weren't facts that were difficult to come by, and you're in a position of power, and yet you put that on the back burner, to say the least. All right, coming up next, The Smoking Gun, brought to you by Harry Beckwith Guns and Range in Micanopy. Time now for The Smoking Gun, brought to you by Harry Beckwith Guns and Range in Micanopy. A youth football game in Pittsburgh was actually canceled Saturday after a coach began screaming. Then he tried to swing at people on the field. It's all on video. One of the parents recorded this, and the team was just down 7-0, but there was only 3 minutes left in the game, and the coach, something set him off after a play, and he just snapped out, and he starts yelling and screaming. Then he's messing with another guy, eventually got into like a wrestling type match with another one of the parents. That both of them end up on the ground. Two were finally separated before any real punches could be thrown, but the coach needed to be physically dragged away to break them up. So his team had no chance to win then, because at that point the game was canceled with 3 minutes on the clock. And so, you know what? We all need role models. Some of them serve as how not to behave. And that's your Smoking Gun, brought to you by Harry Beckwith Guns and Range in Micanopy.